traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. We're back in the saddle again. Medically, I'm doing great. Can't complain about that. Got the holidays over. We're ready to go with our live shows every Thursday now. I'm excited about that. We got a lot of good things going on now. What we're going to do is we're going to run through a couple of things here, but the majority of the show today is going to be about the thoroughbred industry. A lot of things are going on in the thoroughbred industry, and you know, we want to talk about that and let you know what all's going on. But we're going to cover a little bit of everything today in all breeds, so I'm excited about that. One of the things that we have going on now, we've got live racing, America's Day at the Racing on our internet site, our www.ientv.org. We've got live racing across America today. It started about 20 minutes ago, so we're excited about that. Tune in to take a look at that. Then on one of our IEN radio and television programming things that we have, it's called Here for the Horse. It's about racing in Australia, what they do in Australia to help you know, prevent injuries and to take care of the horses. And it's a good program, about an hour long, and it just goes behind the scenes and shows you and tells you exactly what's going on in the horse industry in Australia. It's really good. I think you would really enjoy it. It helps you understand more things, why the horse racing industry can be so good, because we got a lot of good people all over the world that are taking care of the horses and everything. So that's Here for the Horse Racing in Australia. That's really a good segment there. Then we have something that I'm just now getting into. It's called Christmas in the Camper RV. And it's a great little program, about 13 minutes long, and it tells you how to decorate, shows you how to decorate in the camper. And it's really good. You know, it's the holiday season, and even though you're small and in a camper and, you know, you're traveling a lot, you can still enjoy the holidays. You know, not as good as you can in a big house and on a big farm, but it's really great. You know, it shows you that it can be done if you put your mind to it. And then I was really excited about the equestrian of the week that we have. I tell you, it's called discoverthehorse.com. And this young lady, and I'll let you watch it, it's very interesting. Her goal is to ride every breed of horse that is in the world, from thoroughbreds, standardbreds, to ponies, to draft horses, you name it. She travels the world riding these horses, and she's really a great person. And if you just go to it, it's called discoverthehorse.com. It's our equestrian of the week, and I think you'll really like it. And then our business of the week is Farm Vet Supply and Pharmacy. Greatest people in the world. They're out of Tennessee. And no matter where you're at in the country, they can get you your product. And they also have pharmaceuticals, which really helps. You know, that's a good to the horseman. And they're always there, a phone call away. And it's, you notice here in at IEN, we try to make everything just a phone call away, whether it's feed, whether it's veterinarian supplies, transportation, hotels, RVs, finding out information on who won what race or who won what show, or, you know, who was the biggest sale horse in the sales. We just want everything to be one call. And that's why if you go to our website, you can get that one call and get right to where you need. And then one of the things that I'm really excited about is our farm of the week. It's Claiborne Farm in Lexington, Kentucky. They are an old school farm, a lot of history to it. If you go to our website there, you can click onto it, and it's a great story about Calumet and who they are and where they're going and what all they've done. They are strictly the backbone of thoroughbred racing in the United States and worldwide. That's a good documentary done by NBC Sports this time. That was Christmas time again, and I get so excited. It's called Christmas on the Range. It's a great movie for the whole family. Spent time to take time to watch it. It's a great show. Gets you in the holiday spirit. And over the next three or four weeks, we're going to have different movies and holiday programming on our movie of the week that you'll see here. It's going to be great holiday time, and especially if you're in the cold weather, you'll like it. It'll give you something to do with the family. So tune into that. And this week it's Christmas on the Range. I think you'll like it. It's a Hallmark movie. And then we have live racing today on At the Wire. We have a lot of good things. And Chuck Wagon come decorate in the RV and crock pot cooking for Christmas on Chuck Wagon. We have one thing that it's kind of exciting and people really don't think about, and we see in the standardbred industry, is you see the harness racing, how they pull up behind the car that has the gate on it, and how they close it and open it, and how they start the races. We've got three little segments on there. It's riding in a harness racing starting car. I think you really like it. It takes you behind, puts you right in the car, and you can see what it looks like from their point of view. It's got an afternoon race, a twilight race, and a night race. They're all different, so that's really good to go to take a look at it. And then we have a lot of other things on the website, I think, that you'll really like, you'll get into. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we have the Longines FEI jumping coming to you from Spain. It'll be live tomorrow. Just come in, and you'll be able to watch that on there and just see how that goes. And it's really going to be a good show, for you to come and take a look at on IEN on the website. Plenty of interest there for everybody that's there. But like I said, we're going to talk mostly about the Kentucky Derby 2023 and how they get there. And for a long time now, we've been doing a lot of talking about what it takes to get to the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, it's a long process. It's a two-year, three-year-long process, a lot of planning that goes into it. And, you know, I can't emphasize how much pressure you put on yourself when you actually decide that you're going to try to run in the Kentucky Derby. And like we said, it starts with the owner. And the owner has to make a lot of decisions about the trainers and transportation and the blacksmith and feed and sales and breeding and so forth. And it's really, really tough, you know, to do. And every week that goes by when you've decided to run in the Derby, which we're going to go over here and talk about the owner, the trainer, and so forth down the road. But one of the things that you have to worry about when you start on that road to the Derby, on how they get there, just to show you how things go. Whenever the phone rings at your home or your business, immediately you think, is it about my horse? Is it about my horse? And so then when you hear a phone ring, you know, it's scary. Whenever you see the veterinarian pulling up to the office or you see the trainer coming over to you, you know, you're thinking like, oh, no, what could this be? Is this good or bad? And, you know, so you get really intense. It's a mental thing that you really don't think about. But when you hear it, your subconscious tells you, you know, that phone call could be about the big horse that's going on his road to the Kentucky Derby. So that's a lot of pressure on the owners. And to give you a good example of how these pressures build up on you, they have a series of races that you're going to have to run in, and you're going to have to go down the road and race, and you just hope everything comes out Well, unfortunately, the Kentucky Derby futuring wagering has been suspended on Frank's Honor. He broke his maiden by 5 lengths October 1st at Churchill Downs. It has been suspended for Pool 2 of the Kentucky Derby future wagering, which opens its four-day run November 24th at 12 noon. Trainer Kenny McPete said the Del Ridge Farm homebred by Honor Code was injured October 30th in the eighth race at the Louisville track, which was declared a no contest after Rodolphe Brissett train paddock boss fell and was euthanized in an unrepairable injury in his left front leg. Ricardo Santana Jr. aboard Echo again, and the race was suspended 5 days of racing for careless riding that occurred near the seventh and a half pole during the seventh race there. And Honors appeared to make contact with the falling horse while attempting to dodge it. So he's a horse on the road. The innocent horses are on the road to the Derby. And a horse goes down and, he tries to avoid the horse that's down on the ground, and he literally injures himself. He was in the middle of the debacle and is trying to avoid the spill, came out of it injured, McPeak said. It's a shame, a horse that has talent for something that's ridiculous to happen because of careless riding. I was surprised to see him listed on the futures because he had been on the farm since a few days after the race. Now, there's a chance that he can make it back into the game, but he's going to need some time. So, and Kenny didn't say what kind of injury it was, but it just goes to show you that when you get out here on the road to the Derby, you don't know what's going to happen. A horse breaks down in the race that you're in. You try to avoid it, and then your horse ends up injured too. And you just can't. You just never know what's going to happen from day to day. So it gets kind of scary, when you get on that road to the Kentucky Derby. And that could happen. It could be, and hopefully it doesn't happen. But there could be transportation injuries. There could be on the farm injuries. There could be training injuries. There could be a barn injury, just all kinds of things that could happen. So, again, it goes back to when you hear that phone ring, you don't know if it's going to be about your horse or, just a friend talking, saying, hey, good luck to you on your road to the Derby. So that's what, these guys go through. And so now we get into the meat of the 2023 Road to the Kentucky Derby. It's an amazing next 6 months. 6 months from this weekend, will be the Kentucky Derby. And it comes up on you quick and it goes quick. And then at times it seems like it takes forever. When I was working on the track, I get so excited about if we had horses going, shooting for the Kentucky Derby. And then you get along into the 1st of December and you kind of hope, getting excited about Christmas, but yet you know that you got 6 months to go to the Kentucky Derby. And so the weeks seem to be long, and the next race seems to be even longer away. Because once you start on this road, each race tells you exactly what kind of horse you have, where you're going with it, and if you're going to make it to the first Saturday in May. Every race is very definitive on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And it dictates to you whether you're going to stay on that road or whether you're going to get off that road. And it can be great, and it can be fun, and it can be also very disappointing. You just got to take it day by day. So, that's what we started looking at here, is on that road to the Kentucky Derby. And I tell you, I was surprised when a horse that we're following came up. The trainer that we're following on how they get there to the Kentucky Derby this year is Todd Pletcher, and we're following One Star Farm to see how they're doing. And we're just seeing what's going on here. Forte, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and he's got 40 points, and he's earned $1,545,000, trained by Todd Pletcher and owned by Repo Stable and St. Elias Stable. So he's just really dominated the two-year-old season this year. He's 40 points in what he has. Blazing Sevens, trained by Chad Brown, he's got 16 points behind him. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there, you know, with everything. So we got 15 of the top horses, and they go anywhere from Forte with 40 points down to Confidence Game with one point. Money-wise, Forte has earned three times as much as anybody else in the field. It's just unbelievable what he's done so far. So it's kind of exciting there. We've had the Iroquois, the Champagne, the American Pharoah, the Breeders' Futurity, and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile so far. Now we have the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. We just had that, and that was a great race there. And the next race we're going to have is the Remsen. And so we're kind of going on with that, seeing what happens there with that. Then the Remsen is this Saturday, December 3rd at Aqueduct. And so that's our next road to the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be a good field, a real strong field, this year. So I'm kind of excited about that. And just, you know, really getting into it now, taking it a day at a time, race at a time, and everything. So I was getting ready to say one of the things that's going to be interesting this year is in Japan, they are starting to race their horses more on the dirt. They're actually got a series of races that will be for the thoroughbreds on the dirt, and they're actually going to have a Triple Crown series set up on the dirt for, you know, the thoroughbreds, and normally they're on the grass and everything. So that's going to be kind of a look forward to see type of thing here, see what they have, you know, going on there. They're going to have a strong presence this year because in the Breeders' Cup they've had several winners now, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. It's just kind of amazing to see people think it out and get onto the road to the Derby. So I said, man, oh man, I said, if they get as good as they are on the turf, on the dirt, you're going to see a Derby, Kentucky Derby winner from Japan here very, very soon. We're going to have. Like I said, we had, we just had the Kentucky Jockey Club. It was a great race. It's $400,000 for Churchill Downs, 1 16 miles beneath the Twin Spires has a road to the Kentucky Derby prep race offering qualifying points on a 10, 4, 2, and 1 scale. It's top four finishers. Churchill Downs uses points as preferences system for the Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve is overdrawn beyond 20 horses of capacity. So it's going to be interesting to see. The 2023 Derby is 23 weeks away on May 6th in connection with the 9 2-year-olds entered in the Kentucky Jockey Club can hope Saturday's race can propel their horses towards the next year's classic, which could be. And what I like, what I've always been saying here, we've had a situation to where you want to get your horses actually over, you know, the track at Churchill if you can, and get some points out of it, which they did. And so now, next year when they come in, they'll be used to the track. They'll be used to the crowd. They'll be used to everything that's there. And that's, you know, a good step forward for them. They came into the race. Curly Jack for Tom Amos was the favorite. And he was a good horse. He's been running good. He's trained good. He's been in Kentucky. He's been at Churchill training. And so it was just interesting to see how this was going to come out. There's a horse in there called Instant Coffee, which is lightly raced. He won when he was at Saratoga when they unveiled September 3rd before running fourth in the Claiborne Breeders of Futurity in Lexington. Shirley Jack skipped that to await the juvenile, the Breeders' Cup juvenile. But, you know, so Instant Coffee, lightly raced. Forte repeated in the juvenile in seventh place to Phil's subsequently took to two Phil's subsequently took the October 30th Street Sense Stakes at Churchill Downs. You know, so all these horses have been you know right there, you know where to go, you know in the right direction. I tell you, I was surprised at this race. Instant Coffee beat Curly Jack by a length and a quarter, and then it just went down, you know, a length and a half, length and a half, length and a half, down as they went through. Instant Coffee, which is lightly raced, he was 4 and 5 wide, and he was up in the final 16. Curly Jack waited a little bit too long, had a good strong finish, and it was surprisingly, you know, closing at the end. So that was good. You know, there's just so many things here that we can go through on these horses about getting them to the right races and, you know, getting them into the right time. Like I said, there's a lot of races coming up. You got to pick out the races that you want to go to and how you're going to get them there. And it's very difficult. You know, this race that we just had here, I was surprised that it was pretty lightly, a light field. But already since September 17th, we've had the Iroquois, the Champagne, the Breeders' Futurity, the American Pharoah, the Breeders' Cup, Juvenile, and now we've had the Kentucky Jockey Club. And the next race is December 3rd. It's the Remsen and Aqueduct going 1 1/8 miles. And so, you know, the races are going to get stronger, they're going to get better, and they're going to get a little bit longer. And it's going to be good to see. We got, in December we'll have the Remsen, we'll have the Los Alamitos Futurity, the Springboard Mile, and the Gunrunner Stakes. So December is going to be loaded with quite a few Derby prep races, and we're going to see an awful lot of horses trying to hit these shows and see what happens here in it. So now, after talking all that, you know, rambling on there that I'm doing, you know, it's pretty good. You know, we're excited. A lot of things are happening. Just trying to get caught up here at IEN, and it's taking me some time, but we're getting here. And then, speaking of the Derby, the location is Churchill Downs, Louisville, Kentucky. The inaugural Derby was May 17th, 1875. It's for thoroughbreds. The sponsor of the Derby is the Woodford Reserve from Brown-Forman. You can go to the KentuckyDerby.com website for any information that you'd like to know about the Derby. The Derby distance is 1 1/4 miles. It's 10 furlongs, 2 kilometers. The record time is Secretariat, 1 minute 59 and 4, set by Secretariat in 1973. The only time the Derby was run different was in 1889, when they ran it at 1.5 miles. And that was, the Spokane was the winner, and the time was 2:34.5. It's a dirt surface. It's a left-handed track. Qualifications are 3-year-olds only for colts and gelding. You can't have a filly in there. Everybody carries 126 pounds. The fillies carry 121 pounds. The purse is $3 million. First place gets $1,860,000. So, you know, it's the granddaddy of all races for the thoroughbred when they come in. It's amazing to see, you know, what's going on with them. You name it, it's been there at the Kentucky Derby, the movie stars, the everybody, they're all there. They are all there. So, I was excited to see that, you know, happen. And then, you know, like we were saying, we were talking about the owners of everything. It's just amazing to see who goes to the Derby. It's amazing to see who tries to get in the Derby. It's just unbelievable, you know, how they do that. You know, I've been fortunate to be a part of a lot of the Derbies and you know, being involved in it from the backside, from a spectator to the backside. You know, starting when I was young, watching it on TV. My dad, when we were young, we wouldn't go to the Derby. They wouldn't let kids in. So he would drive us over, and we would drive around Churchill Downs two or three times to see what was going on. And it was pretty good. And I was excited. I was excited about it to see what happened. And just kind of let it go at that. And then as I got older, I got more involved with the horses. And then once I started working at Churchill, it just, you know, did me in, you might say. And so I was excited. The owner that we're going to talk about now is Windstar Farm. We're going to go through and see just exactly what they've done, you know, here. Windstar Farm is an American thoroughbred horse breeding and racing farm in Versailles, Kentucky, owned by Kenny Trout. It won the 2010 Eclipse Award for Outstanding Owner and 2016 Outstanding Breeder Award. Windstar Farm owned and campaigned 2018 Triple Crown winner Justify, 2010 Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver, 2010 Belmont Stakes winner Drosselmeyer, and 2016 Belmont Stakes winner Creator. Notable stallions that have stood at Windstar Farm include two-time Breeders' Cup Classic winner Chisnell, leading sire and broodmare sire Distorted Humor, Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup Classic winner American Pharoah sire Pioneer of the Nile. So, you know, they have all the right ingredients to get the horses, you know, bred for the Derby. They've got everything that that was there. It's just all business. It's all business. A lot of business, a lot of prayers, which is there. And the core of the property was the Silver Pool Farm, a 480-acre farm settled in the late 1700s by the Williams family. From the Tidewater area of Virginia, which remained in that family for over 150 years. The area was surveyed in 1788, and the original Silver Pool Farm was settled by Daniel Williams, descendant of Roger Williams. His wife, Mary, was a relative of Andrew Jackson, and the couple were among the founders of the local Baptist church. Their sons, Daniel and John, went on to own Silver Pool Farm property, and it was used raising livestock and for manufacturing products from hemp. And so John's grandson, Claude S. Williams, who lived there, was known as a successful and local prominent farmer in Stockton. So, you know, Windstar started out with a great farm that had established itself and been there for years and hadn't changed hands. It was unbelievable. In 2002, Windstar made its first stallion acquisition. Tis now the only two-time winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, having won that event in 2000 and 2001. Although Tis now's pedigree was not fashionable, Windstar took a gamble, and it paid off when Tis now became the leading freshman sire in 2005. He was ranked among the top 30 in North America for many years. He was among the top five sires in 2008 and 2009. He's now been a successful stallion. Doug Coughlin, brother of jockey Steve Coughlin, was named the first president and CEO of Windstar in 2005. Elliot Walden, who had trained Distorted Humor and several Windstar horses, became the vice president and racing manager in 2010. Trout and Kastner dissolved their partnership, leaving Trout as the sole owner of Windstar Farm. Later that year, Walden replaced Coughlin as the president and CEO of Windstar Farm. So it was an amazing thing for the owners, you know, to get what they were doing there. I tell you, I've been a part of the Windstar system and the Windstar family, and it was an amazing run and a great place to work. In 2013, Windstar built a new stallion barn that houses 18 stallions, which covers access to two breeding sheds and two viewing areas. There are 22 paddocks of the 3 acres each, in which the stallions are turned out each day. The secondary barn acts as a quarantine area for stallions shuttling to the southern hemisphere. Also houses stallions when there is no room for them in the main barn. So it's built right. Windstar was a finalist for the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Breeder in 2008, won the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Owner in 2010. The program, they dream big. They dream big at Windstar, and they plan it out. And it goes back, and this is all tied into how they get to the Derby. When you start having the right facilities, you have the right staff, and you have the right plan, it makes it really interesting to see what's going on, you know, with everything, and you get there. And there's goals that you set, and they're really tough to go on. Kenny Trout is the owner. Kenny was born in 1948 and was the founder of Excel Communications, a Texas-based telecommunication company that offered long-distance phone service. Trout became a billionaire in 1998 when Excel was sold to Teleglobe for $3.5 billion. As of 2022, his net worth was approximately $2 billion. Today, Trout is the sole owner of Windstar Farm, an elite 2,400-acre horse farm in Versailles, Kentucky. He's also chairman of the Mount Vernon Investments. Trout has won the Kentucky Derby twice, the Preakness once, and the Belmont three times, including the 13th Triple Crown winner. He is the owner of Justify, the winner of the 13th Triple Crown. Some notable stallions from Windstar Farm include Super Saver, winner of the 2010 Kentucky Derby, Drosselmeyer, winner of the 2010 Belmont Stakes, Creator, winner of the 2016 Belmont Stakes, and Justify, the 13th Triple Crown winner. It's just amazing, and I've known Kenny for a long time. He grew up in Mount Vernon, Illinois, and lived very close to relatives of mine there in Mount Vernon. And so Kenny, he's a good, down-to-earth, good Christian man. He believes in God, and he takes good care of everybody and everything around him, including his horses and his staff, which is just exciting, you know, for everybody to work with him. And it was the trainer, when I was there, when I first came there, was Elliot Walden. And Elliot's a fantastic person. He's the president, CEO of Racing Operations for Windstar there in Versailles. He was a former trainer. He trained on the track, and I worked for him not only at Windstar, but when he was on the track, I worked for him. Elliot's from a racing family. He grew up in the industry. as a kid, Walden cleaned stalls and washed horses and was riding horses since he was young. Walden's father attached a basketball hoop on the top of one of the stalls in which racehorses, No Robbery, was in, and Elliot would play basketball there with his brother, Ben Jr. So, it's a good family tradition, and you do things like unusual things like that. Elliot's major wins were the Regret Stakes in 1990, the Kentucky Turf Stakes in 1994, the Arlington Classic in 2002, the Pocahontas in 1995. It's just endless what all he has won. The Florida Oaks in 1997, which was a great race for him to win, the Arkansas Derby, the Rebel Stakes, the Bluegrass Stakes, the Bourbon Stakes, the Haskell Stakes, the Hutchinson, the Jim Dandy, the Risen Star, and the Stephen Foster, and the Super Derby. So Elliot's been around, and he knows what it takes to get there. It takes staff like that, you know, to get to the Derby. And so that's what it ends up being. And once you get around people like Kenny Trout, you get around everybody involved at that level, everything starts to mesh together. And when it meshes together, you start winning races. And when you win races, you get in the right frame of mind, and you get the right bloodline, and you start winning the big ones. And that's when Todd Pletcher, Kenny and Elliot sat down, and they discussed on who they wanted to get from their trainer, and they selected a gentleman called Todd Pletcher, which I had the opportunity to work with when I worked for Dwayne Lucas back in the day. Todd Pletcher is a fantastic person. He's a good friend. He's a good person. He's a great trainer. And he's just unbelievable in the things that he has done for the thoroughbred industry. He was born June 26, 1967, in Dallas, Texas. He's got over 5,000 wins. Major wins in his career were the Kentucky Oaks in 2004, 2007, 2013, and 2021. He won the Haskell in 2006, 2007, and 2013. He won the Champaign Stakes in 2004, 2006, 2010, 2012, 2013, and 2014. He's a quite established person. He's won the Bluegrass Stakes 2005, 2008, 2015. And then this is where it really gets good. He won his first Florida Derby in 2007, 14, 15, 17, 18, and 21. He won the Arkansas Derby in 2000, 2001, 2013, 14, and 18. He won the Pegasus Cup in 2022. He won the Pegasus World Turf in 2022. Also the Whitney Handicap. The list just goes on and on. The Traverse Stakes twice, the Purcell Ensign Stakes three times, the Ashland Stakes twice, the Kentucky Derby in 2010, 2017. He won the Belmont Stakes 2007, 2013, 2017, and 2022. It just goes on and on and on. And the whole point that I'm trying to get across here is that now you have all these people together that are talented, that know what they're doing. They know where they're going. They know how to get there. That's the name of our show, How They Get There. They know how they get there. So far this year, Todd has got 902 starts. He has 2,002 first, 147 seconds, 121 thirds. And has earned over $28 million just this year alone. His lifetime starts are 23,884 starts. He has 5,443 wins, 3,853 seconds, 3,202 thirds, for a grand total of $448,636,000 in earnings. So now you get the point that what I'm getting at here, it's the team that you surround around you, that you get around you, that gets you to the Kentucky Derby. It's things like that that are unbelievable. You know, that you have these kind of people around you, and this is where you're going and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And you know, the odd part about it is, it's like with Rich Strike last year winning the Kentucky Derby. Just all the things that I've just told you about, Elliott Walden, Windstar Farm, Kenny Trout, Todd Pletcher, you know, the things that they've accomplished, which is just insurmountable. You know, most of the trainers that are training today will never end up having, you know, those kind of statistics, you know, in their portfolio, because it's a chance of a lifetime and a lifetime of chance. And with all the horses that are bred every year, only 20 get to the Derby, you know, and you're looking at thousands of horses that come up or that foal, and only 20 of them get to the Derby. And so, but you get a horse like Rich Strike. Those guys were just good old boys working hard, you know, just looking for the opportunity, and, you know, things fell the right way, and not a lot of breeding into Rich Strike, and, you know, not a lot of experience behind him. And but yet, you know, he won a Kentucky Derby. So that throws them right to the top, you know, of how they get there. And also, the whole point of that is the fact you can be the best in the business, have the best bred horses, you can have the best trainer, the best employees, you can have the best of the best, and still not win a Kentucky Derby. You know, you can be a guy that's a small-time, you know, it's got, you know, a decently bred horse and got good workers and, you know, on a small scale, small tracks, and then he comes up and he beats all the big guns. You know, so, you know, that's how they get there. You can be top of the game at everything, or you can be mediocre, or you can be just taking a shot at it, and you can get there. You know, that's how they get there, just taking that shot, getting enough points to get into the Derby. And so that's what I like about the business. You know, and you see that long shot that came in like mine, Nat Bird, did a few years back. You know, he came out of nowhere. But it takes a lot to get to the Derby, and the road has been strong. We've had a lot of, had 8 or 9 races so far, prep races, with Todd Pletcher's Forte sitting on top with 40 points. He's got 22 points more than anybody else so far going to the Derby. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. On Saturday, we have our next Derby trial, our Derby points race. It's at Aqueduct on December 3rd, and it's called the Remsen Stakes. It's an excellent race. It catches a lot of these horses that are, you know, on their way up. And this will determine a lot whether they go on to the next race. On our list of Derby prep races. The Remsen Stakes is a grade 2. Post time is 2:44 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to see it on IENTV.org. It's a small field. It's a 7-horse field that we have for the purse money. It's $250,000 going a mile and an eighth. And it's going to be interesting to see. Top weight is 120, low weight is 118, and it's going to be a great race. I think it will be. Got a lot of new shooters in here that we haven't seen around in some of the other races that'll be there. We have Jason Service, we have Linda Rice, we have P.R. Walder, and we have. A great race coming up on Saturday. And that's going to be interesting to see. Remember, that's at 2:44 p.m. post time, and you can go to intv.org and watch it and see what all is there, see who all is there. I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see. This is a qualifier. You can get 10 points out of the deal, and that helps along because the top point getter, top 20 point getters get into the Derby. And with Rich Strike last year, you know, he had barely had enough money and had points earned, but if it wasn't for that scratch, he would never gotten into the Derby because he didn't really have enough points to get in, but he was the next one. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of here. These are some fairly seasoned horses, I would say, that are running this time. They had a good two-year-old career. And this is basically going to let them know whether they can pursue the pursuit to the Kentucky Derby. And then it'll give them the right direction to go in, because they've trained hard up until this time and point, and they're going to have to get a little bit of a breather. And usually that comes in December and January. You get them, rest them up a little bit, and then you get them for the road down to the Kentucky Derby. And so far we've had, let's see, the Iroquois, the Champagne, the Breeders' Futurity, the American Center, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and the Kentucky Jockey Club so far. Now on December 3rd, December's kind of a heavy month. It eliminates a lot of horses on the Derby trail. You got the, like I said, the Remsen at the Aqueduct. You got Los Alamitos Futurity. You got the Springboard Mile. You got the Gunrunner. And then you get into January's races. And these races here that we've just gone over, they're the kind of yardstick to see what kind of horse you have, how you run in it, and how they come out of it. It's kind of exciting, you know, to, you don't just see that. Then we have, let's see here. Oh, there we go. January 1st. January 1st, when it really gets down to the tough races. We'll have 16 races, starting with the Jerome at Aqueduct. And you might see the Remsen winner in the Jerome Stakes at Aqueduct. That could be a very good move. Get you some more Derby points if you can do good in the Remsen, and then come back to the Gunrunner. I mean, come back to the Jerome at Aqueduct. Then after that, January 1st, you got Smarty Jones at Oaklawn. You got Sam at Santa Anita. We got the Southwest at Oakland. Going to be interesting to see. A lot of good races coming up, you know, to let all these trainers and owners know where they're at. But, you know, like we're saying, it's a very difficult road. There is no set way to get to the Derby. There's no book that you could write that says this is what you need to do to get to the Kentucky Derby. There's no certain bloodline that tells you what you need to do to get to the Kentucky Derby. Now, for years and years and years, all the old-timers believed that if you breed the best of the best, you got the best. Then you have people that have come along that had horses that weren't bred very well, and a good example was Secretariat. Secretariat was not very, bloodline was not very very good. It was interesting to see all his foals. Not many of his foals ran very well. It was a long, hard road for him, you know, to go down. They just didn't live up to, you know, to the bloodline. And yet, on the other hand, Secretariat's bloodline was not all that good, and he lived up to and beyond the bloodline that you know, that he came from. And so, you know, that's where it goes back, breed the best of the best and hope for the best and everything. But that's not necessarily true. And I've always weighed in that when you come in into the training business. And I when I was training, you know, I tried my very best, but I couldn't train a rat to eat cheese. And, you know, I realized that pretty quick and realized that my equine help that I could give to the industry was being a catch-all. You know, a gopher, do whatever needed to be done. You know, see the owners, see the trainers, see the grooms, ship horses, groom horses, bathe horses, you know, do everything that I could do. And so I was just one of those kind of persons that, you know, I wasn't really good at a lot of things, but a lot of things I could do. And I was consistent and stayed right there. But the whole point of the Road to the Kentucky Derby is to have a system to get your horses there. And I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of horses that weren't bred very well. They weren't in a good a racing stable, didn't have good owners, but yet they prevailed and they won a lot of big races. And that's what was always puzzled me. So, you know, I started thinking about how much of that horse is the trainer? How much of that horse is the owner? How much of that horse is the groom? How much of that horse is the jockey? You know, I started thinking all these different things and trying to figure out a mathematical formula to evaluate how good this horse is going to be. And there isn't any. There isn't any. Woody Stevens was asked why he didn't write a book on how to win 5 Belmonts in a row. And he said, well, he said, I can't. He said, every horse was different. And he said, if I could write a book on how to win a Belmont, he said, I'd write it, everybody would buy it, and then everybody would be trying to win the Belmont. And he said, but there's no really set way to do it. There's no criteria saying, you know, a horse has got to be, you know, so many hands high. He's got to be, you know, weigh so much. He's got to have this jockey. He's got to have that trainer. You know, he has to have all these things that you can put in with a horse and do with a horse doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win. I see it all the time on the racetrack. I saw a new owner to the business, and he told his trainer, he says, I spent $100,000 on this horse. $100,000 I spent on him. He said, how come we can't win a Derby? And, you know, they told him, they said, look, you can spend $1 million on them and you're not going to win the Derby. They don't know how much they cost in that. They don't know their bloodlines. They don't know any of that. And so it's always been kind of comical to me to see all the theories on the backside. And I really don't have a theory on how or, you know, a way you should do to get a horse to the Derby. If I could, I'd write the book and, you know, I'd be really filthy rich, you know, and all. But the thing that I like is that everybody's trying. And like they say, it's a chance of a lifetime and a lifetime a chance. And that's what makes the Derby so exciting and so thrilling, is that you don't know who's going to be there in May. You don't know until you get to the Tuesday before the Derby. And you have the post position draw. That's when you find out what's going on. That's when you find out what's going on, you know, and who the 20 are. And maybe you could be fortunate enough to get there and all. But like I said, the interesting trail that we're taking now is we're going to go in depth over the next 6 months to the owners and do interviews with the owners and the trainers and the jockeys and the grooms and find out exactly, you know, how their journey to the Derby was and everything. So just getting to the Derby is a great thing to do. To win it, it's even better, you know, but it's not guaranteed, and it's just a dream, you know, that you have. So I'm excited over the next 6 months about the Road to the Derby, especially like the Florida Derby and the races here in Florida. I really get excited about those because the atmosphere is just is electrifying. And in the barns, it's been completely different. You know, that dream's always, that dream, the Derby dream lives in every horseman until that Tuesday before the Kentucky Derby when they had the post position draw. And then on that day, there are 20 people that are going to live the dream to the Derby for sure. Then there's 1,000 others that didn't get into the Derby, that Derby dream ends when they don't get in that post position. And then they become a spectator again. But for a week there, the dream lives on for those 20 people that are involved with that horse and the memories that are going on and on and on. And, you know, it's kind of exciting, you know, to see that. I was in... a part owner in a horse called Ironworks, and he went his first time out at Gulfstream, ran third or second his second time out at Gulfstream, and then he won at Keeneland. And he'd only had 3 starts, and so we were kind of excited for him this year when he came running like he did. I was excited because I think we got as high as we were rated number 35 in the 2022 Kentucky Derby. And then, unfortunately, he got an injury, and we had to take him out of training. But he's back on the road. In fact, he'll be back down here to Palm Beach Downs with us here this week sometime. So I was excited there for a while. I was living the dream to the Derby. And, you know, like I said, the phone would ring, you'd think something happened. You know, it just always was something. But on how they get there, it's going to be an interesting type of a thing to see. You can go to the website and see some of our videos of the people that you're going to see in the segments that you'll see on there. And then we'll just kind of take it, you know, a week at a time. But like I said, this last year I've had a terrible battle with cancer, and it was very difficult, and I tried to plug away and keep going as much as I possibly could, and the good Lord's blessed me, and he's got me in a position where I'm in remission, and that I'll get to see, hopefully, another Kentucky Derby. That's my goal. That's how I'm going to get there, is through God's help and my friend's assistance, and we'll get to another Kentucky Derby. So just bear with us and call in whenever you can to the station and give us a holler. And you will see you next Thursday on International Equine Report. And we'll be more organized and possibly have some video up for you and things of that nature. So you guys have a good rest of the week. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Thursday and hearing from you next Thursday on the International Equine Report.